D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
Today on Truths That Transform.
How can we say indeed that all things are working together for good?
In this world torn asunder by anger and despair, is there any hope?
We began to hate together because you are who you associate with.
Discover God's promises and how they apply right where you are today. Today's Truths That Transform. Welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. These are troubled times in our world, but we have every reason to be encouraged, as you will see on today's program. A bit later, we will share with you a timely treasure from the pen of Dr. Kennedy, available again for the first time in decades. As we begin, in these days of tumult and unrest like we have not seen in this country since the 1960s, it's good to know that God is still at work, steadily building His kingdom, one soul at a time. I want you to meet a man who was once an anti-American radical. He was considering an even more radical path, until he had an encounter with the living God. Our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb has more.
I grew up in a godly home. My grandfather was a minister in St. Louis. He was a very well-known minister. My mother was a preacher's daughter. I got to see a godly man after church. I got to see a godly man deal with his family, deal with his wife, deal with his problems. And what I saw stuck with me even when I left the home and went in the military.
When he was 21 years old, Mason Weaver began a promising career in the Navy in the early 1970s. But the cruelty of a racist shipmate nearly crippled him forever.
I ran across people who didn't love God. And I ran across a racist shipmate who hated me. And I knew what hatred was, but I didn't know he hated me. I thought he was just a competitor, not an enemy. He was a white racist on the ship, and I was a black racist on the ship. And every day we have debates. We have a debate about black, white America. And I was getting the best of him. To me, it was just playtime. I didn't take him seriously. One day, I had to fly to San Francisco, and I was ordered to give this man my work crew, all black crew, black militants. Here's a white racist to take off my work crew. They would kill him. And the ship knew that. So I decided to lay out the work ahead of time and give everybody their assignments so that he could just come in and supervise. He didn't want to help me. I was his superior by 2 months. So I ordered him. The room was empty, just me and two other supervisors, him and another black guy. I needed help bring the steel plate out to lay out the work for everybody. So I ordered him to help control that steel. I put my enemy in charge of 2,800 pounds, and he took the opportunity to push it over on me. And I saw him do. I saw him put his shoulder to it. I saw him push it. I turned to run as he did it. And as I ran, it hit me on my left hip, crushed my hip, my ribs, and I screamed and opened my eyes up. As I was screaming, I saw the look of pure hatred in his eyes. I looked right in his eyes and I saw that the look, the hatred. I've been to Vietnam, buddy. I've never seen a man look another man that way before. But that look he had in his eyes stayed with me for years, that look of utter contempt. And I was rescued by 8 white guys. Didn't matter. I now hated all white people. I hated everything white. I didn't want a white dog. When I got hurt, I went to Balboa Hospital in San Diego. They told my mother that, you know, get to the hospital from St. Louis because I wasn't going to make it.
His spleen was torn. There was a fracture to his pelvis. There's a possible fracture or swelling of his spine. There was something wrong with his leg.
I was the healthiest man in my high school. And now all of a sudden, I couldn't even swallow. I couldn't breathe on my own. I couldn't speak on my own. I couldn't do anything. My whole body stopped functioning. My vocal cords, the vibrations, hurt my back. When I went to the x-ray, over the elevator, the little slit in the elevator door, the floor, going over that little slit, hurt my back. Whatever, they moved me in the hospital, I had to grab myself for the pain.
After a long and painful treatment, Mason was finally released from the hospital. However, the Navy classified his injuries as permanent and discharged him from the service. At the time, Mason had only one goal in mind, to confront the shipmate who had tried to kill him.
I had promised myself, if I ever laid eyes on him again, I don't care if he was in front of the police department, I don't care if he was on stage giving a speech, if I ever laid eyes on him again, I will put my hands around his throat and I will squeeze that look off his face of anger. I will kill him. I will take his life.
For months, Mason unsuccessfully tried to find his white shipmate. Meanwhile, he was confronted with the physical obstacles he would have to live with and the realities of an uncertain future.
I found in my life uneducated. I was a high school dropout. I couldn't get a job. My career in the Navy was over, untrained, uneducated, and very much unmotivated. Hating everyone, couldn't function in society.
In the middle of his struggle, Mason enrolled in a prominent school in Northern California. He moved in with one of his relatives and began a difficult journey in brokenness and pain.
I went to Berkeley, and every day I was in pain. Every day I had to decide whether I was going to go to Berkeley and pain medication and be drugged and couldn't stay in class, or go to class without pain and be uncomfortable all day.
At Berkeley during the time, we have what we call the, there was a revolution of change. Black Panther Party was very prominent in the area. Mason joined the Black Students Union. The chapter that was on campus at that time was defunct, but it was beginning to surface again. Mason was one of the forerunners.
I ran across other black men that hated America. And they hated society. They hated the principles of this country. We began to hate together because you're all who you associate with.
But as Mason began to be consumed by hate and the desire for revenge, childhood memories of his Christian upbringing began to nudge his conscience. He began to realize the significance of Jesus having risen from the dead, thus proving that Christianity was true. In seeing the risen Christ, Mason realized, the disciples were totally transformed.
But I had this emptiness in me, this calling on my heart, the example of my father and grandfather. And I began to look for God again. And what I discovered was, searching for God, it came down to those disciples. Those disciples saw something they witnessed that changed their very characteristics. Cowardly, self-centered men, and all of a sudden, some incident happened, and they became bold warriors, not afraid of death any longer. They saw something. It was the resurrection. And I have to recognize, as an angry black militant, speaking Swahili, Black Panther hanging out with them, I have to recognize that God Almighty was born of woman just for me. He allowed sinful men to manhandle him just for me. He allowed sinners to beat him and spit on him just for me. He allowed his precious holy body to be nailed to that cross with me in mind personally by name. He allowed his precious blood to soak that cross and soak that ground just for Mason. And when I finally recognized that Jesus Christ did not compromise with me on the cross, I took a deep, long breath and said, I can no longer compromise with him in the world. The first thing I had to do, I had to forgive that white shipmate. I had to forgive him before he gave me reparations, before he was sorry what he did, before he forgave himself. I had to forgive him because what a God had forgiven me for.
He discovered that Christ would handle his burdens for him. And he had to turn that hate into love and pray for forgiveness. God had renewed his soul and had made him realize that burden he was carrying around with anger, that was too heavy for him to encounter. And only God would be able to rescue him from that evil, which is called hatred.
Looking back on that incident, that white racist shipmate did more for me than any man I've ever known in my life. Because that white racist shipmate got me in tune with who I was as a man, got me in tune with who God was as God, and got me in tune with what my obligations was to my community.
Mason Weaver has used his experiences to inspire others through his book entitled, It's Okay to Leave the Plantation, and is a motivational speaker who addresses racial issues and the transforming power of the gospel.
Forgiveness showed me the power of God. When I forgave that guy the power, I mean, I felt the steel lifted off of me. I stood stronger. I stood taller. When I forgave him, I was no longer a victim. I was victorious. When I forgave him, I was no longer a slave. I was free.
Despite all the efforts of ancient alchemists, none were ever able to turn a base metal like lead into gold. But our Almighty God is the great eternal alchemist who turns all the dross of our lives into gold.
The alchemy of God, the alchemy of grace, all things work together for good.
In his newly republished book, Turn It to Gold, Dr. D. James Kennedy tackles the difficulties we all face. Contact us today to receive your copy of Turn It to Gold, one of Dr. Kennedy's most beloved and inspiring books, so that you can be encouraged or share assurance with a friend that God's promises are the richest gold now and forever.
Unfortunately, there are many professing Christians today who mistakenly claim that the gospel is not enough, that what's needed is some leftist program of social restructuring. But as the story of Mason Weaver demonstrates, the transformative love of God is indeed enough to change lives and cultures. Since we have all been through trials together this year, now is the perfect time to take stock and remember that we serve an almighty God who is sovereign over events and turns our hardships into precious jewels. How is such a thing possible? Here is Dr. D. James Kennedy with more on the alchemy of God.
Our subject this morning is the alchemy of God. Alchemy, of course, was the precursor of chemistry and stands in relation to chemistry somewhat in the same way that astrology stands to astronomy. And the great quest of the alchemists of the Middle Ages was to transmute the base metals into the noble, that is, to change lead into gold. As you may surmise, they failed in their quest. However, God is the great cosmic alchemist who never fails. Today I would like to talk to you about the incredible way in which God changes lead into gold. When we face the avalanche of trials and troubles and calamities that come upon us, we cry out, "Why, O God? Why me? Why now? Or how long, O Lord, till thou dost lift thy hands?" Today, I would like to take all of those questions and gather them all up in my arms and write over them the words of my text this day. All things work together for good to them who love God. That is one of the greatest texts in all of the Scripture. All things work together for good. No other text covers as much territory. No other text offers any more than that. No other text conveys such hope and such comfort as that. Unfortunately, for many people, no other text seems more difficult to believe. In face of all of the problems that we know in this life, some would say that can't possibly be true, and I could understand how they would feel that way. Not only is this world filled with perplexities, but this is also a very threatening world as well. We live in what appears to be a very hostile universe. Just a few thousand feet beneath us, there is molten lava waiting to consume us. A few thousand feet above us, there are deadly cosmic rays that would slay us in a moment. In a whole universe where the basic law of entropy is determined to crush us in the final extinction of all things. A world that is filled with war and pestilence and famine, sickness, disease, decay, and death. How can we say indeed that all things are working together for good? Spurgeon tells about a man during the reign of Queen Mary who was captured for preaching the gospel, and he was sentenced to be taken back to London and to be burned alive at the stake. And when he heard the sentence, he said, "Well, never mind, for all things work together for good." And they said to him, "Well, how is that going to work together for your good?" He said, "I do not know, but I know that it will." And on the road back to London, they treated him so roughly that they cast him down one time and he broke his leg. Being unsympathetic, they mocked him and said, "Well, then tell us how this is going to work together for your good." And he said, "I do not know, but I know that God will work it together for my good." So they splinted his leg so he could continue his trip, and finally they made it back to London a day late. Because of the accident, Queen Mary was dead, and Elizabeth was now on the throne, and the man was pardoned, and his life was spared. And God works all things together for good. He works them for our good, we're told, not in the good in the sense that the worldling would conceive of it. He would only suppose that it is good if it advances our wealth or our prosperity in this world. But sometimes that is not the case. God is talking about our spiritual good, our growth in grace, our being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. There are some things in this world that may work in the very opposite direction. Adversity causes some people to become embittered and hardened, to become hateful toward God and man. Others, it sweetens and softens and enriches. And so it is that those who love God or the called according to his purpose have a far different result when the adversities of life come upon them. Those who love God and have been called according to the eternal purpose of him, who is determined before the foundation of the world to reach down to the very mire of sin and to lift up a multitude of souls whom no man can number, to cleanse them from the vileness of their iniquity, to wash them and make them whiter than snow, to refashion them into the image of his Son, to take them to be with him forever in paradise. What a glorious truth that is, that God works all things together for good to them who love him. How can we not help but praise and rejoice in our God for what he has done for us in Jesus Christ? Ah, my friends, lead into gold. I would urge you to believe it, to take hold of this text this day. It will transform your life. Grasp it firmly with the hand of faith. Relax upon it as the everlasting arms. Launch out upon it into the sea of life. And God will take away the worries, the anxieties, the fears of the future. And you will know that God is working all things for your good. Whatever it is, it's for good. You cannot help but praise God when you see that. The alchemy of God, the alchemy of grace. All things work together for good to them who love God. Dear dear friend, please believe that.
What amazing encouragement from one of the Bible's most precious promises. This is indeed the alchemy of God, to take our most difficult trials and sufferings and turn them into gold. Often we can become so caught up in the struggles and difficulties of life that we lose a biblical perspective. We lose sight of what God is doing. When Joseph met his brothers again, years after they sold him into slavery in Egypt, he told them, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." Joseph put aside the justifiable bitterness and anger he might have felt by looking to the sovereign plan of a loving God and a wise God. And oftentimes we need to be reminded of the same thing. Dr. D. James Kennedy has done just that in his classic book, Turn It to Gold, which we have newly reprinted and made available again for the first time in decades. We would love to send you this timeless book filled with pastoral encouragement as our thanks for your generous donation to help us proclaim God's truth and defend your freedom across America. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or you can go online to djkm.org. Dr. Kennedy writes, "When we face the avalanche of trials and troubles that come upon us, we cry out, 'Why, God? Why me? Why now?' God takes all those questions, gathers them up in His arms, and writes over them the majestic words of Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to those that love God. That's not some pie-in-the-sky promise. That is a concrete truth from a God who has already demonstrated His commitment by giving His only Son to secure that very promise. Be encouraged by Dr. Kennedy's hope-filled book, Turn It to Gold, How God Turns Adversity to Triumph, which is our thanks for your generous donation to the ongoing work of this ministry. And if you're able to donate $60 or more, we will send you the book, Turn It to Gold, plus the 4-DVD set, Living Without Fear. This DVD set features key messages from Dr. Kennedy on confident Christian living in a tumultuous world. Among the messages in this set are banishing the fear of death, ending financial fears, and more. During these difficult times, in these troublesome months in America, in the wake of COVID-19 and the economic fallout, riots and unrest across many of our cities, and a contentious national election in the offing, this is a time to plant our roots deeply and take encouragement from the Word of God. We will send you Dr. Kennedy's classic book, Turn It to Gold, How God Turns Adversity to Triumph, which we have newly republished after decades out of print, as our thanks for your generous donation. And we will send you the book plus the 4-DVD set, Living Without Fear, as thanks for your donation of $60 or more. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org. We live in times that could appear to be difficult and even discouraging for Christians. Religious liberty is under assault. The Supreme Court has ruled that those claiming to belong to a different gender based on nothing more than subjective feelings now have the same civil protections as ethnic minorities. And even worse, the decision dismissing thousands of years of human biology in a few glib sentences came from a justice that many people of faith fought to get confirmed. Around the country, our entire national history is under assault, with statues of George Washington and Thomas Jefferson being defaced or even torn down. Riots have occurred in the streets, with many calling for the literal abolition of police forces. A certain frenetic madness seems to have taken hold. But listen to me. If you name Christ as your Savior, I say to you, this is our time to shine. We fear not, because the Lord is with us. The Apostle Paul wrote to us for just such a time as this, saying, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." You know, the most countercultural thing in the world right now is a confident peace. And we can have that peace because Jesus has overcome the world. We can have that peace because it is our Heavenly Father who governs the affairs of human beings. Seated on His eternal throne, it is He who sets up governments and tears them down again, who does all things for His own good pleasure, and who has promised to do good for His people, a promise He sealed by sending us His Son, Jesus Christ. So while seeming madness surrounds us, let us stand out from that crowd by taking courage, offering forgiveness, and extending love in the name of Christ. Now that is a revolutionary act with the potential to transform a nation. D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom. I'm Frank Wright. Thanks for joining us for Truths That Transform. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
How many people wrestle with that? Why, Lord? Why?
It was in the midst of tragedy that I probably, along with my family, wrestled with this reality the most.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.